Psalm 27 and verse 4. Psalm 27 and the fourth verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. What a wonderful thing that a king should have such a love and desire towards the house of God, to worship God, as we could gather from our reading tonight. Solomon's goodly temple had not then been erected. There was nothing outward to attract David or other godly people in the worship of God. And my friends, the true worshippers of God do not want outward attractions. They want to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now I believe the reason why the psalmist had such love to God's house was this. He did business there. And if you and I do spiritual business in the house of God, that will make that place attractive unto us. Some of us may remember tonight when we came to the sanctuary, went away like the door upon its hinges. Nothing attracted us, but with some things have been changed by the dear Lord. And the psalmist in our text says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Jesus said to Martha, one thing is needful. And a mercy, when this comes home to a sinner's heart, that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the one thing needful. When this comes home to a sinner's heart, they will come up to the sanctuary with living spiritual desires. I hope, believe, some of you so come to the house of God. We hope those of you who are younger, if you have not spiritual desires in your heart yet, one day the Lord will put them there. And if he does, before coming to the house of God, you will try to pray, and try to pray particularly for yourself, for your own soul. You may come inquiring many times before you get the blessing you are seeking. The blessing may seem to get further and further away from you, if possible. But the Lord often meets with his dear people in his house when they least expect it. Sometimes when they're very, very burdened with their sins, when they are oppressed by the temptations of Satan, when their fears rise high, the fear they may have sinned beyond the reach of hope and mercy, and yet they come. And that is often when the Lord very mercifully and graciously grants unto them that which they seek after. It's a mercy to be a seeker after the things of God. A mercy to be knocking upon God's door for entrance. Now if the Lord was to meet with some poor sinner tonight, grant them their heart's desire, they would particularly love their God, and they would love his earthly courts. Before coming into chapel, I thought if that verse had been penned in David's day, he could have endorsed it. My soul shall pray for Zion still, while life and breath remains. There my best friends, my kindred dwell, there God, my Saviour reigns. And so the psalmist, he had one thing, and God's people have this one thing which they desire of the Lord, cannot get it from any other source but from the dear Lord himself, and that is to know and feel the pardon of their sins, for their hearts to be washed in the precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. That's my one thing. Maybe the one thing with some of you, to feel your interest in the precious blood of the dear Lord Jesus. On that memorable night before Israel came out of the land of Egypt, they had to take that blood and sprinkle it upon the lintels, doorposts of their houses. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there was safety and security in every house where that blood was sprinkled. It sometimes speaks loud to me, may speak loud to you. That is what we need to take us safe to heaven, to apprehend graciously by faith that precious blood of Jesus was shed for the remission of our sins. For there are other things which God's dear people bring into his house, things they want graciously settled. I do not say for a moment that all matters are settled for us in the sanctuary. But as I look back over my own little life, I have to say this, that those vital, important matters regarding my soul and other things were sweetly settled for me in the sanctuary. So the Lord's people, they do secret business with him. You take the ordinances of God's house, very important. Nothing saving in them whatsoever. A person who joins the church rightly doesn't join that church to be saved. They join it because they have a sweet hope they have been saved. May not have had that full assurance. No, but a sweet hope in God's rich and sovereign mercy. And this becomes very weighty business with them, a solemn exercise. They may not be able to speak to creatures about it. That doesn't matter. Much better to speak to the Lord about such matters. And the Lord can lead the thoughts and minds and tongue of his servants to speak the very word you desire and to bring it home with sweetness and power to your heart. I look back a good while now to one Good Friday. One had been exercised a long time about this important matter. But oh, how one did pray that the Lord's servant might be so led, and that the word might so enter in, that God's love might sweetly break me down. And that is just what happened. I'll not forget it. Some of you may remember when you prayerfully, quietly, reverently did business with the Lord and got matters settled. I wouldn't say a half a word to a person about joining. That's the Lord's work. Never be persuaded by man. Do your business with God and get things settled by Him regarding these matters. Because you see, that's bound to be tried. Then if man had persuaded you, what a handle Satan could make of it. You'd laid your case before the Lord, and the dear Lord mercifully settled it for you. Then you could plead with Him His own word. Thus, we don't know the one thing that some poor sinner may come seeking after even this evening. Some poor thing may feel they're left out, and yet there is that exercise. They want the gracious spiritual leadings of the dear Holy Spirit. There are those things regarding the ministry, heavy burden to those whom God exercises. A weighty burden, but these people, they do business with their God, and they seek after a word from the dear Lord, and they wait until they get it. That word was so attractive to me. I didn't wish to dictate to the Lord, but I felt I must wait till the word was given me. That word was, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Oh, that's the all-important thing, the Lord's presence. Without it, we should waste our time in preaching, not being called to this work. But I remember how earnestly I was enabled to pray about it. One evening, good minister was preaching. He didn't take the words for text, but part of the way through his sermon he stopped, and he said, "My friend, God says to thee, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he went on with his sermon. But oh, what a good word that was to me. With what sweetness and power came home to my heart. And I've often thanked God for it. There are the things of this life. Those of you who are younger, the scripture exhortation is, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And it is a mercy to have God's presence and help in providence as well as in grace. I know the things of grace are the all-important, but the things of providence affect some of God's people very much, and they wish to go God's way. Show me now thy way. And they seek after this. Sometimes, you know, a door seems to open. It may seem so wonderful, may look so prosperous. You pray about it. Ask the Lord's guidance. That's one thing with you now. And you desire of the Lord a word about this matter. Minister might give out for a text. Go not to glean in another field. And that would settle it. If the Lord brought the word home, I remember that settling a matter for me. Thus, whatever may really concern us, 'tis a mercy to be enabled to bring these things to the Lord and to bring them prayerfully into his sanctuary and to get things secretly settled for us by the dear Holy Spirit. Then the good psalmist, he desired to dwell in the house of the Lord. There are some who come, we like to see them come. We wouldn't say anything against them, but they may not manifest any real love, any real interest in the things of God. But oh, where the Lord meets with a sinner and blesses that sinner, then they become dwellers in Zion. And such the godly psalmist desired to be, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to dwell amongst his people. It's a wonderful confession that Ruth made, wasn't it? When Naomi exhorted her to go back, saying, there's nothing in me why you should follow me. I'm a poor, ruined old woman. I've lost everything. I've got no prospect, no future. You go back. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. She said, for thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. See, the Lord had been at work in her young heart. The Lord had done great things for her. I've sometimes thought, you know, she may have listened to the conversation of her mother-in-law. She may have observed her godly, upright life. She may have listened to what her mother-in-law had to say about her people. And the Lord blessed this and gave Ruth real love to an unknown people, unknown in the flesh. And so Ruth did come, a poor widow. Oh, how wonderfully the Lord went before her and blessed her. I love to read that little book sometimes. It opens up to us so sweetly that those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness will not be losers in the long run. Thus with the psalmist, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In our early days, when the love of God is first shed abroad in our hearts, what a love there is to the sanctuary. I heard a young man said recently he couldn't make out why God's people wanted to go to a place of worship in the week. My friend said to him, because God's people love to go. That's where they are fed. That is where they get help. And that will be so with you. Does the Lord sometimes feed you? Perhaps you've felt a time or two, as the dear man has tried to preach the truth, I believe that man will go to heaven, you say. And I believe I shall get there too. I've felt that a few times. You see, it's the Lord meeting with us, the Lord granting us his blessing and favouring us, that endears the sanctuary to the hearts of God's dear people. David must have been an exceedingly busy man, tremendous lot to do, yet he could say, Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house, the place where thine honour dwelleth. Wonderful to think, you know, that a king should say, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. What a love the dear man had to the God of the house and to God's house, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, it's a mercy to be given that love and zeal. Whilst we have health and strength to seek after God, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, when perhaps old age comes on, or when health fails, then to feel we have no regrets, though we may not now be able to get to the house of the Lord. The Lord may enable us to meditate upon those things we received in the sanctuary. I've no doubt this worship which David enjoyed sometimes reminded him of heaven. And this, my dear friends, we have really worshipped God, really worshipped the Lord Jesus. Heaven wouldn't be any heaven to us if we could get there. No, it would not. Why? Because those who are now safe in heaven, they worship God forever and ever. I was away from home a few weeks back and had to be among strangers. But you know, you've got various ideas of heaven. I listened to what they had to say. It really grieved me. But I thought of what one godly dying old man said. And I told these people that. He said, when once my eyes are fixed upon the dear Lord Jesus Christ, I never expect to take them off. We didn't have any more about heaven that night. That finished it. The good old Rutherford said, the Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. And so those who dwell in the house of the Lord, who love to worship him in sincerity and in truth, they will at last worship him more sweetly above. Here often something comes to mar our worship. There will be nothing in that holy, happy place to mar it. Then the psalmist, he desired to behold the beauty of the Lord. I believe sometimes the dear Lord is pleased to reveal himself to his dear people. They get a sight of him and they can say of him, he is the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely. Perhaps once or twice some of you had a sweet view of God in Christ and you worshipped him as such. You have felt for the time being dead to all other things. How the church had her heart and her affections set upon the dear Lord Jesus. Why, he was all fair to her, do we come sometimes praying, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Give me, Lord, a glimpse of thy sweet face. Shine upon me as that glorious sun of righteousness. Warm my poor cold heart with heavenly heat. A wonderful mercy sometimes to get by faith a little glimpse of the King in his beauty. You'll never forget it if you have a sweet revelation of this glorious person to your soul that will eclipse all other things. Ah, they will sink into oblivion, and he will become your all and in all. Well, that's one more thing. Why the psalmist loved the heirs of God, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now I need not speak on this last clause. We included it in the first clause, really. But a mercy it is to be a gracious inquirer. Lord, tell me I'm one of thy lambs. Tell me I'm one of thy sheep. Tell me thou didst die for me. Lay down thy life for a poor sinner like me. Tell me that when I die, I shall go to be with thee. These inquiries may go up from your heart upon your bed during the night watches. The mercy it is to inquire of the Lord like Abram's servant. I love that account when he was sent on that important errand, how he committed the matter unto the Lord and prayed that the Lord would go before him. He humbly asked the Lord for certain signs and evidences. He didn't get excited, but he waited, he watched to see if the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Ah, how the Lord heard that man's prayer. I being in the way, the Lord led me to my master's house, he could say. And the Lord wonderfully appeared for him. Good old, good, godly Simeon. He was an inquirer in the temple, and he had a good word that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. And that was so. He took up the child Jesus in his arms to do for him after the custom of the Lord. He was completely satisfied. The Lord make us those gracious inquirers. Give us those one things that we may seek after them. Amen. The collection this evening is in support of this cause of truth.